a new man, Acts chapter 11, 19 to 30. While Jesus was on earth, he went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease among the people. And the Bible tells us that he saw the multitude and he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Matthew chapter 9, 35 to 39. On the 31st of May, 1792, William Carey preached his famous sermon to launch the modern missionary movement, taking Isaiah chapter 54 verse 2 as his text. He argued, "Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God." He was God's man for the evangelization of the land of India. Carey was raised in an obscure rural village in the middle of England. Christianity Today reported this historical analysis of his life. He was a cobbler. He apprenticed in a local cobbler's shop. And he was a nominal Anglican when he was converted. But he enthusiastically took up his faith. And though he was very little educated, he borrowed a Greek grammar and proceeded to teach himself New Testament Greek. And he was married. He gave birth to a daughter, but the daughter died at the age of 2. And he was thinking, as he goes through the pains of life, what is the purpose and meaning of life for me? It was at that time that he saw the early Moravian missionaries, how he was increasingly dismayed in his that somehow these fellow Protestants have a lack of missions interest, and he had a burden in his heart, and he penned his sermon, An Inquiry into the Obligations of Christians to Use Means for the Conversion of the Heathens. And he argued that Jesus' Great Commission is to be applied to all Christians at all time. And he says, multitudes are sitting at ease and gives themselves no concern about the far greater part of their fellow sinners. Who to this day are lost in ignorance and idolatry. So he was moved by God. The Spirit of God moved him. And in 1792, he organized a missionary society. And this was the sermon that he preached. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things before God. Within a year, Carrie, John Thomas, a former surgeon, and Carrie's family, which now has three boys and another child on the way, were on a ship headed for India. The gospel spread to India. The gospel also spread to China through Hudson Taylor, through William Chalmers Burns, and the gospel made inroads into Southeast Asia, whereby we here receive the gospel. God has planted churches by His sovereign wisdom and plan, according to the commission that Christ has left for His church before His ascension. Indeed, He has set an open door of service and opportunities to the Gentiles since the beginning, the humble beginning of the first Gentile family, Cornelius, that was converted. The field are white unto harvest. We saw last week in our sermon, The New Beginning, as we see God's hand move to save this first Gentile family, and how Peter was there at hand to witness the work of God as he shared the gospel. Then this man was converted, and how God gave him the vision to see that it is the will of God that the gospel would go to the nations. As we said last week, that the Jews is perhaps just 0.1% of the world population. And the Gentiles or the Samaritans, even smaller group. So the gospel mandate, when the book of Acts begins, before Christ's ascension, was to go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. The Jews, the half-Jews, half-Gentiles, and now the Gentiles. So the Lord wants us to see that development of God's purpose and plan for the salvation of souls. And we said last week, you recall from verses 1 to 10, the salvation plan of God rehearsed, the salvific proof of God's plan recounted. Peter was in Jerusalem and he spoke to the leaders in Jerusalem and he said to them that indeed God has saved this family, and I can see that this man is a God-fearer. The Spirit of God is in him as he is in us. And I could see the change. This Roman centurion, not only him, but all the rest of his family. And we saw, finally, the settled purpose of God reinforced, that the church came to that understanding, the realization that salvation is not just to the Jews, but also to the Greeks, to all the world. And therefore Jesus has given that marching orders to his disciples, and without exception, we are called to bring this gospel to the end of the world, to make disciples, to identify them, to baptize them, and to make them disciple makers. This was Christ's commission to the infant church. And we have seen that movement geographically. Jesus delineated, and we saw the Holy Spirit movement that lead them from Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world. The unsaid portion of this commission is that God's plan is not only to save the Jews, this group, little group of men that is assembled here or there in Jerusalem, but God has a greater plan. And God has a greater plan for this witness here. It is not just to save you and I, that we would be comfortable enjoying ourselves here, the comforts, the pleasures of the grace of God in our lives, and we forget that it's a dying world out there. And we must be reminded of the mission that God has given to us, that Christ has entrusted to us. Having been blessed much, He now asks that would you consider to do something for the Lord, to serve Him in a way that He would allow you by your strength, by His enabling in your lives. Two thoughts for our consideration. A ground ripe for harvest, verses 19 to 24. And a man called to the harvest, verses 25 to 30. A ground ripe for harvest. Who is going to do it? God must move. The people of God prayed. Verse 19 of our text. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled far, as far as Phoenicia. Where is that? This place that's Phoenicia on the west coast of the land of Israel, right in the northern side, very much near to the modern day Lebanon. Okay. And Cyprus is just along the Mediterranean coast, just like Batam is to Singapore. Right? Perhaps an hour boat ride, and we'll be there. And Antioch, where is Antioch? Very interesting. The gospel, because of persecution, the scattering of spirit-filled believers, has spread all the way up north to this place called Antioch, 480 kilometers north of Jerusalem, in the province of Syria. And this is where God is doing a mighty work, converting souls. And the Lord is saying to us to observe and see the movement of God. Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire, with a population between a quarter to half a million people. Huge. And this is one of the nearest enclaves, an idolatrous place, full of immorality, but it was there that the gospel seemed to be taking root. Greek-speaking Jews went there, and they began sharing the gospel to the Gentiles, and these people are beginning to be saved. Where is Antioch? We said it is in Syria, modern day Syria, and it is a major junction for roads coming from east, the Aleppo. That's the place that we hear very much in the news over the last 1 year or so. To the south, Lebanon, Damascus, Palestine. And to the north, Tarsus. If you go further up, you go come to modern-day Turkey. Okay. And that is where you would see how the gospel seemed to be making inroads and movements. And so the Lord wants us to see how the gospel is moving from one place to another, and the Lord is showing to us how the gospel is going up north. And our text tells us these were persecuted, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. Watch the development. And verse 20 says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. Those were in the islands off the Mediterranean Sea. And when they were come to Antioch, speak unto the Grecians, the Greek-speaking Jews, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed. What was going on here? Well, the Spirit of God was working. The hand of God was with the people of God. It's a very interesting phrase there. The hand of God was with them. The Bible says that the hand of God was with His servants. He was with, His hand was with Elijah, and how Elijah had power with God. And His hand was also to the various others that we see in the Bible who did exploits for God. And so what we want to understand here is that the Lord is working. And souls are being saved in great number. A great number believe and turn unto the Lord. You see, it's interesting that in order for a revival to take place, God must first revive His people. And they, having been energized by the Spirit of God, would go and would share the gospel. Now imagine the people who were scattered. They were scattered in the new lands, and they became comfortable with where they are. They are making money. They are settling down. And they said, let's not find trouble for ourselves. Let's just keep quiet and enjoy what we have. This new settled life. Was that how these early Christians lived? No. The Bible tells us that they were energized by the Spirit of God to preach the gospel. And how many were saved. And when God moved, when the Spirit of God moved, you see men and women transformed, changed. And this news, verse 22, tells us, reached the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And so there was a harvest field that is opening up. We said a new beginning, just one convert, Cornelius and the family. But now the gospel is moving northwards and southwards. The other man that was converted, you recall, the Ethiopian eunuch. He must have carried the gospel after Philip evangelized to him to go down south to Africa. But here you see the movement of God up north. And the people of God who are sensitive to the leading of the Spirit would be able to see that there is work to do, and God would energize them to be there at that time to speak to that someone, and God would open their spiritual eyes. And you see, the matter is not so simple, you see. When God opens the spiritual eyes of one person, that begins a lifelong ministry. To that person, you share the gospel with someone and they have been converted, and it takes a lifetime to lead them, guide them, help them through life pathway. And there are other members of their family which are not saved, still outside the kingdom of God. And you see, this was what's going on there. God arrived, a ground ripe for harvest. And the people in Jerusalem, the leaders in Jerusalem, heard the news that, oh, there is indeed great stirrings going up north. And they send this man, Barnabas, to go and see. Verse 22 of our text. And the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which were in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And Barnabas was sent forth. It's interesting that Peter didn't go, or any of the other apostles. But if you were to think and consider the magnitude of the work, we are speaking about 500 kilometers away, a work that is 500 kilometers away. For us to travel here to KL, 300 kilometers, 400 kilometers, further up, all the way to the Thai border, the geographical extent of the work has become humongous. And God is raising different people, men filled with the Spirit from different quarters to stand in the gap. So many souls. Who to do the work? God prepared this man, Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Verse 22 at the end says, who, when he came and he had seen the grace of God. Indeed, salvation come by the grace of God. Only when God's favor would come upon a person that he can be saved. And this we see. And was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they cleaved unto the Lord. Indeed, when a person just received the Lord Jesus Christ, is a new babe in Christ, many fears still lingers in the heart, unestablished in the faith. He needs many more mature Christians to come alongside them, to talk to them, to come alongside them, to answer their questions. And here we are seeing God raising men for His work. And how God prepared men for the work. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Much people was added unto the Lord. And so Barnabas, this man who was from the far off island, came. He sold his possessions and he came bring them at the apostles' feet, and he began to serve the Lord, and he was sent now 500 kilometers north to this place and up in Antioch. This would be the center for Gentile evangelism. This was the place where men and women would be trained, prepared, and to be sent out for the greater gospel work that was needful. And this was that outpost there in Antioch. So the Lord wants us to see how there are many who are fainted and are scattered as sheep having no shepherd. And God also prepared men who had compassion in their heart, who are moved with compassion to step forward to serve. Verse 24 tells us that when Barnabas arrived, he saw a thriving multitude of Gentile believers and how they need to be organized into a local community, into a local church, and how they are to be trained, to be baptized, to be given the wherewithal of the Christian life, how to prosper, how to walk with God. And then they would be sent forth. So Barnabas was doing this work. And that's the first thought, a ground ripe for harvest. And then in verse 25 to 30, we want us to see the second thought. A man called to the harvest. Verses 25 to 30. Our text suddenly make a remark, a statement here. While he was at Antioch, he was moved, verse 25 says, to go to Tarsus. Now, Tarsus is modern-day Turkey. It is another more than 100 kilometers away. And you see Barnabas being moved by the Spirit of God to go and seek out this man, Saul, the Apostle Paul, who was converted, whom God had called to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And so you see, God was preparing his men, and he used men to prepare his men. And we see in our text, it says here in verse 25, he departed to Tarsus to seek for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. The Apostle Paul was a theologian, well versed in the Old Testament scriptures. He studied under Gamaliel. And he's fluent, a master in the Greek language. The ideal person to reach out to a predominantly Greek-speaking community. And so God laid upon the heart of Barnabas to go, to seek out this man, Saul, that he may come to do this work. And so we can imagine there was some persuasion that has gone on. He goes there, he meets with him, and he tells him, will you come? Will you come and serve here in Antioch? There is a great need here for the gospel, the grounding of the people in the things of God. And this was what just Saul did. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. This was the establishment of the first Gentile Christian witness. Massive scale. And they needed that the men and women there to be grounded in the truth. And so God prepared this man. You remember how he was prepared? He was a persecutor of the Christians. And then God, Christ, appeared to him on the road to Damascus and changed him, turned him around. And I was looking at some of a time chart, chronology of his conversion. This one goes like this. 33 AD, conversion of Saul. 34, Saul in Damascus and Arabia. Conversion of Cornelius, 35. Saul visits Peter in Jerusalem. 36, Jewish Christian mission. Saul in Tarsus and Cilicia. And 37, 38, Barnabas goes to Antioch. And 39, Barnabas gets Saul. So this is about 7 years since Christ's ascension. And you see the great movement, 500 kilometers out. Vast piece of land. We are talking about the establishment of countless local churches. Do not underestimate what one man that is energized by God can do for him. And how many do we have here? So many of us. Can he not use each one of us for his own honor and glory? Surely. The Apostle Paul was a man whom God prepared, consecrated, and now he was brought to a place of service. Very exciting. You see now the groundwork being laid for Gentile evangelism. And from here, in Antioch, he would begin this evangelization that would span throughout the Roman Empire. So much so that a few hundred years later, there were many, many millions of Christians all over the Roman Empire. God's work always begins small, as we see in the infant church. Just a few, but a few who are energized by the Spirit of God can do much for the Lord. And so our text tells us that Saul and Barnabas were there and they began serving, teaching the Word of God, establishing the members in the faith. And then what happened? Well, running errands for the Lord. There was a famine that came, verse 27 and 28 tells us, that was all over the land. And life was difficult. And Barnabas and Saul was sent to bring relief to the church, the brethren who were in Judea down south. Again, about 300-400 kilometer journey. So he was serving the Lord. God brought him and God prepared him. How does God prepare a man? Well, he prepares him by grounding him, establishing him in the Word of God, so that the Word that is given is internalized in the person, and he lives forth the Word in his life. And that's where God would energize such a one to be useful vessel for him. And so the Lord is preparing now a new man, Saul, and many others which we will see that would come into the scene. The gospel work is great. Everyone has a role as a part for the advancement of God's kingdom. Would you consider that the Lord may use you to serve Him? May we be found faithful. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy mercy, Thy grace in granting to us this vision of a ripe harvest field, and how the gospel, the binding of the captives, the freeing of the captives must be done through the divine effort of consecrated men. Lord, may Thou raise men and women in this generation, amongst Thy people, to make a difference, to impact men and women for eternity in their lifetime. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, Amen.